RNZ National, it's Friday afternoon. We always finish the week off by chatting to Nicola Tookie from the Department of Conservation with Critter of the Week. Hi, Nicola.
Ahi ahi mari, kei te pihi koe e hoa.
Oh, kei te ora rawatu, kei te peha koe.
Kei te ngenge ahau. Always tired. Anō. Oh, yeah, Friday. Whew, we got there. Mm-hmm. Yay.
Kia ora rā. So we're very pleased that despite your very busy week, you make time to talk to us at the end of it. I got a nice picture from my mother today. I was about to call it a pixed, but people make fun of me when I call it a pixed because I don't think they've been pixed for about 20 years. But anyway, she sent me a picture of her proudly wearing her new Critter of the Week t-shirt, which she ordered online and it arrived today. Looks pretty good too.
Did you say your mum?
Yeah.
Oh, bless. That's so cute. I should probably get my mum one now, or there'll be trouble. There'll be mum ones.
There's always a bit of a lag between ordering your Critter of the Week t-shirt and receiving it for reasons. It's all explained on the website. But, yeah, I guess there'll be people around New Zealand receiving theirs today. So receive it with our good wishes and do send me a picture of you wearing it if once it arrives.
Yeah, actually, I had a nostalgic kind of experience with Critter of the Week t-shirts this week because I cleaned out my drawers and found what felt like half a dozen, my little collection. and I had so many, so that was quite handy.
I know. There was a time when you and I had kind of like neither of us had really got round to ordering one yet and it was starting to look pretty bad, wasn't it? But we'll fix that.
Yes. We've got to represent. Yes, and aside from Critter of the Week t-shirt arrivals, the other thing that arrived this week in the mailboxes of, well, scientists mostly, but journalists and anyone in the public who is interested, was the threat classification list for, these get updated every 5 years and they come out in sequence of various topics. So this week it was for... Oh, gosh, what was it for? Leaf-veined slugs, which I thought you might appreciate.
Yeah.
Spiders and a particular kind of snail. And it was not necessarily all positive reading. So, unfortunately, what we have discovered in the last 5 years is that our invertebrates, our critters that you and I like to champion so lovingly, are doing it tough in there, and we think part of the reason that they're doing it tougher than usual is the ongoing impact of climate change on some of our invertebrate species. So of the 63 species of leaf-veined slug, did you know, 6 of those are threatened, 28 of those are at risk, and 20 were not threatened. And so apart from the fact that I love that we put so much attention into such unusual things, you know, it's I guess it's that constant refrain that we can't just watch out and keep an eye out on the big stuff, it's the little things as well. And if you are, you know, perhaps arachnophobic and not, you know, not too concerned if we lost spiders, for example, you might like to think about a world without spiders. If you think about all the insects and invertebrates that spiders eat on a daily and yearly basis, you might actually be a bit grateful for the services that
they
eat.
And the birds that feed on spiders and, it's all connected.
Children.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're not talking about neither spiders nor leaf-veined slugs today, although we are speaking about invertebrates. Today.
No, and I will... And sorry to interrupt, but I will point out that we did talk about leaf-veined slugs October 2015 for anyone who wants to look that up.
I love how quick you are with that these days because it almost feels like you can remember off the top of your head.
Yes, and not that I'm just frantically Googling.
Yeah, and so this week we are talking about one of our many native stick insects. I love this one. This is the prickly stick insect. So they
not
are
the
known
stickly
as
prick brawl. Insect.
Not You just want to be a bit careful, don't you? You wouldn't want
Yeah, I
to say
suppose
that
you
after
do.
a few years. So prickly stick insect, kind of, to me, I felt was a bit timely. Not that it's all about me, but as we, sorry, as those of us not in Auckland move through the alert levels, I noticed that by the time I'd got to the end of alert level 3 down here, I was a bit prickly myself, just a little less
Yes,
tolerant.
there's a lot of that around.
Yeah. So first and foremost, much love to yourself and all the Auckland community out there, and looking forward to next week for everyone as we make our way through. So let's, given that we probably are all feeling a little bit prickly, the prickly stick insect is also known as raw, fair, or wairaka. They are that the name says it all, right? So I'm sure you've come across stick insects. We have actually spoken about stick insects before. They, unsurprisingly, are an insect that looks like a stick.
I love them. I feel like, and this might be my imagination, but I fear that it's not. I feel like they were everywhere when we were kids. That it was really common to just see a stick insect at school or whatever. But that in the city now, they're very uncommon.
Yeah, and that's a shame, right? Because of all the invertebrates that you can, or bits of wildlife actually, that you can engage with and touch and play with, stick insects are actually relatively tolerant, and you can pick them up in your hand and kind of have a really good look at them. You have to be careful though with the prickly one. And stick insects worldwide, just so you're aware, so stick insects go back to living alongside the dinosaurs, so around 150 million years ago. And the biggest one, the giant stick insect in Borneo, has a body length of 328 millimeters or 546 millimeters, including its legs. That's half.
Make that length with your hands at home, ladies and gentlemen. A stick
Yeah.
insect, how long did you say? Longer than the standard school ruler, right?
Longer than a school ruler, so longer than 30 centimeters, and with all its legs doing its stick insect thing, kind of, stretched out, half a meter, over half a meter. Imagine that on
Amazing.
your kitchen table.
Yeah, so that's the one you're talking about in Borneo. How big is this one?
This one's about, I think it's about 10 or 11 centimeters, isn't it? So it's
Still.
not, they're good enough size. You can pick them up in your hand. My favorite thing about this might relate to me being a bit prickly myself at the moment is this, there's no males. Just girls, and they reproduce all by themselves, and no males. It's actually so no males naturally have ever been found, except I found another fact that said actually one has, and that's in the UK. So more than 100 years ago, in Edwardian times, these insects were accidentally introduced to the UK, and they're
Wow.
relatively common around places like Cornwall now. And one was. They found a male in 2016 in the introduced population in Cornwall. He was likely the result of a rare mutation and is now part of the collection at the Natural History Museum in London.
That's incredible. Funny to think that one day, if they really got in trouble here, we might be able to get replacement bodies from the UK, eh? Of a New Zealand native.
Yeah, and we've done that in reverse. I remember about 15 years ago, we sent some particular species, some specimens of them, living ones, of wallabies back to Australia that were actually in lots and lots of trouble in Australia. And I have talked to some of my Australian counterparts and colleagues who suggested we might do the same with possums, but they weren't so keen.
I would say a good opportunity for me to shout out to the Eastwood Hill National Arboretum of New Zealand, where they have a number of tree, I've forgotten what the word is, I want to say samples of rare trees from around the world, and they actually are involved in a program like that where they propagate trees which are endangered in their home countries here in New Zealand and help them out. It's a really lovely and unexpected aspect to conservation.
Yeah, there's some wonderful examples of that around the world, right from Kew Gardens in the UK to the Botanical Society of Australia and New Zealand here as well. Like, there's a lot of great collaboration happening. But back to our mates, the prickly stick insect. They come from the order Phasmatodea, And that's because of the Greek word phasma, which means phantom. And obviously, if you've ever kind of caught a glimpse of one in your rose bush and then looked again and can't see it, that's because they're so cryptic and so amazing at looking like sticks. These ones, I have found one of these in when I lived in Nainai in Lower Hutt a long time ago. And I found several of them on my rose bush. And I took the stick insect and put it in a container inside with some leaves because I'm a giant grown up big kid and wanted to see what it would do. And it just started laying eggs. And they can do that for up to 4 months, just sit there, just popping out eggs. And they can lay sort of 3 to 6 eggs a day, just one by one. And this can go on for months. And then the tiny little hatchlings come out at night time. They're only a centimetre long. And much like the Snares Island jumping wetter that we talked about last week, every time it goes through a molt and grows into a bigger version and then a molt and a bigger version, they eat the skin, which I think is, you know, economical.
Waste not, want not.
Waste not, want not. And so the way that the reproduction happens, because obviously there are no males, kind of reminded me of a classic science fiction movie from the 1970s called Planet Earth, where the woman kind of ruled the world in like late 2000s, what the filmmaker obviously anticipated it would be, and the men were just all slaves kept in cages. And kind of it sort of reminds me of this a little bit, don't know why, that went down a path I wasn't expecting it to. And so they, what they do is they are able to reproduce basically by cloning themselves. And it's called parthenogenesis. So essentially they have all the required genetic material inside them already to produce offspring, which are almost mirror clones of their mother, who will be clones of their mothers, et cetera, et cetera. Wow. And they'll go on and have daughters. And it's pretty amazing.
Fascinating. Yeah,
They also can shed a leg if they're captured. So, I remember playing Bull Rush and we called it Scrag, which was just like rugby with no rules when I was a kid. And one kind of tactic would be if someone grabbed you by the, your jersey, you could kind of get your jersey off and they'd be left holding it and you could carry on. This is like that but with a leg. Same thing.
Mate, this weekly interview is worth it just for the nostalgia kick, to be honest.
So, yeah, you're probably right, Jesse, because we don't think they're as common in New Zealand as they were 50 years ago when you were a kid. And so we think they might, but didn't even bite. That could be connected to habitat loss, increased predation by introduced kind of mammals, because we know things, you know, lots of our rats and, you know, if the stick insect was on the ground, perhaps a hedgehog. So those things love to gobble up little packages of protein like stick insects. I particularly love this. They are a gateway insect for children. I love this.
Yeah,
because
great.
They feed and keep, and you just kind of need leaves to munch on and just make sure they're nice and moist with a little spray bottle of water, and they don't mind being handled. So, you know, if you've got, and I know you do, if you've got a child or children who are really into the nature, these are a great thing to engage them with.
Awesome. How would you rate this stick insect's attractiveness on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, I had to look twice at the pictures because I couldn't find it. So for their Harry Potter invisibility cloak powers, I reckon they get maybe a 4.
I actually think you're being a bit harsh. I think they're quite beautiful, that emerald green.
They are very beautiful green. Like I said, had to look twice to see it.
Okay. Thank you, Nicola.
Maybe I need to get out of the prickly lockdown mode and give it a much better score next time.
And you communicate science so effectively and so beautifully that I regard you as a bit of a gateway insect.
Thank you, Jesse. I think that is the compliment. I know it was.
Have a great weekend.
You do.
Nicola Tookie from the Department of Conservation. Oh, that must be the end of my week too. Time for Karen Hay with the pre-panel.